From Conjo with Anna de Blasis right here on 720 WGN. All right, look at this. All right, it's been a hard week, right? I got the government shut down. No one's inspecting my lettuce.
That's true.
I've got the Bears losing in the most horrifying way one can imagine, losing a football game because of a kicker and a double doink. It just doesn't happen.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, the Hawks have been Dennis Savard, Hawks great, NHL legend, have been a really interesting story all year round because they've had these moments where you see these streaks of greatness in them. You see the old Hawks on the ice, and then you see them, you know, losing in unlucky moments and then just in boneheaded moments. And I'm not sure which team to believe, but I got to tell you, I really am feeling much better about the way that the goalies are playing here and the defense is playing.
Yeah, I agree, Ro. Again, thanks for having me, guys. Pleasure to be on with you guys every time we do this. But, you know, listen, I like to tend to look at the bigger picture. You know, by no means we're out of the playoff race. I think we're 6 or 8 points out now as we speak today. But, you know, it's one of those years where I felt like going into the season, you know, yes, we're a playoff team. You know, started okay and went into a bit of a slump. But I'm glad I got to see some of our kids playing this year. And I think, you know, I don't speak for the organization, but I speak for myself that, you know, like Gustafson and Yorki Aru, obviously Dalia in goal now. Strom was pretty good acquisition from what I've seen so far. He's a player that's very smart. So there's a lot of good things that are happening. You know, as we talked and every time we get on you guys' show is, you know, salary cap is a difficult thing to deal with. And, you know, every team that won championship like we did, they're going to have to go through a stage where, you know,
the bottom out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk about the goaltending right now, because this is kind of interesting. Cam Ward came in. Cam Ward was pretty serviceable, you know, during, you know, when after Corey had come back and playing in that relief role, because it was an extended relief role because they wanted to give as much rest to Corey Crawford as possible. And I think that we, as fans, I mean, you know, obviously the NHL and the team are very mum about this, but we just kind of have to assume that Corey Crawford's going to be out for a while here. So we're looking at Cam Ward, and we're thinking, okay, can he do it? But then, all of a sudden now, you obviously, the organization does like this kid from Rockford.
Yeah, he's really played well. Now, he got his first loss the other night, played really a strong game again. Yeah, and, you know, Cam has been nothing but great for us, really. I mean, it's a guy that we signed over the summer, a veteran guy, won the Stanley Cup, Connie Smythe. You know, from what I hear, great guy, obviously. And, you know, it's good to see him have that type of year, you know. So as we go further down the year here, depending where we're at, you know, he's a great asset for our team. Teams might be able to come and grab him at the end of the year. You know, we might be able to want to sign him again, depending of Corey's you know, right, health. But Colin has come in and, you know, played like a number one. So
that's good. And we have him for a while. He's locked up as a Blackhawk.
Yes. Yes, he is. And to see him play more and more, you know, it's going to give us a really good idea where he's at in his career. And I know that from watching, 7-8 games that he's played, he's been pretty good.
Significant stretch for the Hawks right now. What needs to happen here? What are you seeing here that makes us feel good?
Well, playing a great team in Nashville. They got all their players back. It's going to be a difficult game for us. And it was like the one in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, very good team, went on and beat them. So we seem to be getting up for those games. Our team's playing better. One thing that I admire about our guys is they're battling. They're still working hard and doing the right things and playing the right way. And so, you know, let's face it, we've got about 35 games left, 37 games, somewhere that number. To get in the playoffs in our conference last year, it took probably 96, 98 points. This year, it may be 92. So you look at our record right now, 25 or 26 in the last 37. We're going to have to win 2 out of 3.
I did not know there was going to be math, Dennis. I had no idea that we were going to have to do math at this part of the show. But, I mean, I've already said, I think that it's 6 points back right now, right? Isn't that
yeah,
right?
Six yeah, points yeah, six from the wild card,
back.
Yeah.
Six points back. I mean, you got to climb some teams. That's your one issue there. Six points does not seem insurmountable, but it's actually, you need losses there, too, to be able to jump. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Let's hope so. I bring this up numbers because when I coached, you know, I used to have, especially the last the first year of Taser and Kaner were in the playoff run, and I've put all the teams, I put our schedule down the last 15 games, and I've put everybody else's team schedules on the board, mm-hmm. and I kind of looked at it, and I felt like, you know, we needed to win 10 to get in out of 15, and we end up only winning 9.
Oh, I remember that season.
So I remember that season, but I remember the excitement at that moment with a team that I think is sort of like what the Bears are going through right now, where they lost, but people, you know, have a great amount of trust that the core is there, mm-hmm. and I think there's some question for the first time in 13 years with this organization that the core is going to be here and is strong enough to be able to make another significant run.
Yeah, you know, I'm not worried for that. I'm really not. I just know that, you know, Kaner and Taser and Dunk and Siebes and hopefully with Corey being hurt now, you know, our guys are veteran guys. You need to get some young players involved, and that's what they're doing right now. And they're able to see Gustafson. I forget the name of him. I think he's going to be a tremendous player. He's playing really well. So you need to get some young players in. The Brinkat's playing well. So with those guys, I think there's still one more run, you know, with Taser and Kaner and Dunk and Siebes. I say this because they're still young. They've played a lot of hockey. They're 30 years old, but they've played a lot of hockey tonight. But I still believe there's still a little run there. If our kids come in and make an impact, and I think some of them are capable of doing that, you know, from now on to next year and the years to come.
Well, how about this kid that went and played in the he played in the world.
Henry Yokiharju.
Yeah.
Won a gold at the juniors.
Yeah, the juniors. I don't understand. Can you explain that to me? Mm-hmm. It's one of the great mysteries of hockey. There are many of them. But this one is, how is a guy playing in the NHL and then able to go play in the juniors championship as well? How does that happen?
Well, there's a certain rule, I guess, if you say it quick enough or there's a certain time you have to tell the NHL that he will go play.
He's only 19.
Pardon me?
He's only 19.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I get that. But, I mean, but he's playing in the NHL already, and he's a kid that everyone's talking about being a future star.
Yeah, I agree, but it was good for him to get down there, win a championship, mm-hmm. You know, watch a lot of the World Junior games. You know, I don't remember some of the kids' names because – but I remember numbers. There was a couple players that we own I didn't really know because I'm just watching the game. You know, like number 5 on defense for Canada, we own his rights. You know, obviously Henry with Finland, and then a kid number 8 that plays for the Swedes, or a first round pick last year.
The Hawks had 5 or 6 guys playing in the World Juniors.
Yeah, number 16 for Team Canada, righty.
Is this the Tubby Schmaltz Award? Which is the Tubby Schmaltz?
Can't help
there's,
me.
There is the Tubby Schmaltz Trophy. In
such
hockey.
A great name.
And I think I know it goes for juniors. I don't know if it goes for this particular. I think it's actually the North American. You know, it's like the Canadian Juniors Championship is Tubby. I just want to let you know.
I should know that.
You should know. Of all the people, when I brought up Tubby Schmaltz, the one person I thought for sure, Dennis Savard, is going to know Tubby Schmaltz.
It's the Junior Hockey League. Rose, yeah. Right. It's the Clarence Schmaltz Cup. Clarence's nickname was Tubby.
Oh, gosh.
Tubby Schmaltz
what
Cup.
A great name. Schmaltz.
How do you know the Tubby Schmaltz Cup? Out of nowhere, we get a Tubby Schmaltz
Cup. I'm impressed.
Cup. Yeah. I'm impressed, too. Sam, we talk about all the young players in the core, but the core that's been around here, the Kane, the Tate. Patrick Kane, we know how great he is, but I think we need to start talking about him on even a different level. He is not slowing down. That goal he had Monday night against Calgary, Savvy, you saw it between the legs, beat 2 defenders, backhander, past the goalie. What have you seen from Kane this year? He still leads the team in points. He's scoring, you know, in bunches.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's got lots of hockey left in him, as we saw again this year. You know, he loves the game. He loves to be at the rink. We all know that, and he still have that will of winning. You know, you saw it a couple games here where he scored a key goal and made a key play, how pumped up he got. So, you know, he's a special player.
Not slowing down.
Not slowing down at all. I agree, Kevin. He's our leader. You know, along
best
with,
winner of his generation for sure. And maybe he's got to be in the top 2 or 3 of all times in the NHL. In terms of just stylistically, when you watch the kid play, based on speed and his ability to make space on the ice.
It's unbelievable.
It is. This is one of those moments where, like when Jordan was in Chicago, when Peyton was in Chicago, mm-hmm. You know, you have a little bit of a window with the Cubs, but, you know, certainly when Ernie Banks was in Chicago, that you can see the greatest, you know, of their generation and maybe beyond. And this is, you're still watching him, and you watch Kane. And I know that, you know, Taves' game has changed. There's just no question about it. Right. He'd be the first to admit it. But not, I mean, he's changed his style of game, right? He's just, it's a little, you know, he's playing a little bit more of a head game.
He's always been up a two-way player, so he's not spectacular as far as flashy as Kaner is.
Right.
You know, and Ro, I'm glad you guys bring this up because, you know, not that our fans take it for granted because they're coming big numbers. Right. Games are sold out still. But we get to watch this kid play. He's a kid. He's 30 years old now. But we get to watch him play here. We're fortunate. And
yeah.
He's fun. I enjoy it.
He's the one player I always say, you can take a common hockey fan or someone who really doesn't even watch that much hockey. You bring him to a game and they're going to – they'll stand out. They'll watch
him,
Patrick
Kane.
Right. He stands out right away, making plays, making space for himself. He's unbelievable.
I, you know, we do banquets for the game for a sponsorship and stuff, and I tell the people as they watch the game, I said, when Patrick has the puck, you have to watch what's behind him. You know, and that amount of time that he has and the time of space that he had, he makes that decision. You'll see how incredible he is because it happens really quick, as you know.
Oh my God, it is a blur to watch. I mean, hockey is a blur to watch. And Jonathan Taves, when you watch the two of them on the ice together and you see them, it's interesting how this has always been the great coaching conundrum since the two of them have been on the team. Is, you know, what lines do you put them on? Do you put them together? When do you put them together? You know, how do you do it? But it is really, you know, almost takes your breath away. Still,
it
when
does.
You see both of them on the same line and wondering, oh, what can happen here? Mm-hmm. So it's a very, you know, we're very lucky to have seen it. It was like Bobby Hull and his, you know, at his peak, at his prime, you know, people, it's the thing of legend, you know, like, you know, your parents and your grandparents talk about that. And it's, and, you know, now we're going to be able to bore our children and grandchildren with the Patrick Kane thing.
What about Coach Culleton, Dennis? I mean, he's got a few games behind him. No one thought he's going to come in here and sprinkle any magic dust. But new system in place, working with the players in a totally different way from the past. And what are you seeing here in terms of what you're noticing?
Yeah, and in all fairness to him, it's very difficult to come in. Especially the way the schedule is in the NHL. You play every other night. You play 3 and 4 nights, 4 and 6 nights. So there's not a lot of time to try to establish what you're trying to get your players, the message you're trying to get across. And I'll tell you, I've watched some of his press conferences. I watched the team, how we've been playing here in the last 15 games or so. He's doing a good job. I mean, defensively, we're sounder. You know, we're competing in every game.
What are
you doing there? Well, I think he talks about the 50-50 battles a lot in their own end and obviously in the offensive zone, and I think he's getting those guys a buy-in on this that, hey, you have to play good defense. And he's right. You have to play good defense with this group that we have to be able to stay in the games.
No matter where you are on the ice.
Yeah, and when we stay in the games, we're given an opportunity to win, which we have in the last couple of weeks here. So, to all fairness to him, he's done a great job, and I like what he's doing. You know, further down the road here, now having 50, 60 games under his belt with these guys and going on to next year, knowing the player better, knowing his team better, it's going to make a huge difference. So, you know, Jeremy's done a good job. You know,
should Jeremy Culleton dress up as you Halloween next year? Because he looks very much to me, when I see Jeremy Culleton, I see a young Dennis Savard.
He's about 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah, well, it's a little different. That's a little different. But you know, this there's that chiseled, you know, dark chiseled thing going on there. And the piercing eyes, which is, you know, there's a dirty joke rattling around in the brain that he just can't say. When you look at him, that's the thing you know. He's like keeping that thing in. Or he's calling you some name in his head. I don't know. It's one or the other.
You know, and then to bring up Jeremy, I like his press conferences because, you know, he won't throw anybody under the bus when he's not happy, but he'll talk about the team. And within the team, you kind of know the message he's trying to send across to his players. So, hey, good for him. I think he's going to do a good job for us.
All right. Dennis Savard, we will leave it there. Thank you, my
awesome.
Friend. Thank you for being here, as always. The great Dennis
Thanks,
Savard.
Dennis.
Right here, the Ro Contra with Anna DeBlanc is live at the United Center, being brought to you by Geico. Geico.com or 800-947-AUTO. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?